Your speaker is Claude Farr.
We'll be using as the basis of our lesson the book of Ezekiel in the first three chapters. Ezekiel lived at a bad time in Israel. They were in captivity, and they were there because of their sins. More important for us, though, to not so much look at the conditions of the world of Ezekiel's day as it is to look at the conditions of the world of our day. And we live in a day of drug abuse and alcohol. We live in a day and age not simply of sexual immorality, but in a day and age in which it's advocated as being okay. Sexual immorality is a regular part of dating, as portrayed in the movies and TV and magazines and accepted by a large segment of society. Living together without being married, or various types of sexual perversion. These things are not only accepted in our society, but it's not politically correct to speak out against them. Abortion. Profanity. That's one of the things that I like to say a lot about, because I think that perhaps it's the leading sin in America, the taking of God's name in vain. For some reason, it seems like that's the one that bothers me more than about any of the various things that I've mentioned. We could go on with a list of the corrupt condition and thinking of modern society. And Christians need to speak out. And I want us tonight just to look at the book of Ezekiel, because Ezekiel really was called upon by God to be a spokesman, to speak out against the evil and the corruption of his day. The first thing I want to notice in the first chapter is just to briefly notice the vision of God that he had. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, actually the last part of the verse gives us the setting. As I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw the visions of God. And chapter 1 describes that vision. Verse 4, I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. The four living creatures, each having four faces, like a man, like several of the animals that are named. And the brightness and the lightnings and the burning things as you look at these four living creatures having four wings each. And then after that, there is the wheel, the famous wheel of Ezekiel, the wheel within a wheel that was under the four living creatures and moved as they moved. Above the four living creatures, there's a description of the firmament above. And then above that, there was the throne. And then at the end of the chapter, it says, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of the one that spake. Now, we could go through, as people do, the entire description here and try to figure out what each item meant, and some good guesses to be made. And we probably would never know really exactly what to make of everything that Ezekiel saw if we were supposed to know the Bible would have told us. But it's like a lot of the book of Revelation, and that is that we may not be able to understand everything about it and picture it like we would like to, but we certainly can get the point, because the Bible tells us the point. And the point here is that Ezekiel was seeing a vision of the Lord. And he was struck with awe. And he fell down. And he listened to the one who spake. And what does that have to do with my announced subject tonight? The call to speak out. The next chapter we'll see very clearly that Ezekiel is called to speak out. But why chapter 1? Well, I think this is why. For Ezekiel to really be able to speak out as the Lord wanted him to speak out about the evil and the corruption of the people, Ezekiel had to know who it was that was calling him. He had to be impressed with how great his God was. And I don't know why this particular way of describing it is there, but it was there, it was put there. This particular vision was there to impress Ezekiel with the awesomeness of God. And knowing that, he would have the courage to be able to speak out if God wanted him to. And for us to speak out against the evil and the corruptions in the world today, we should never think of, you know, ourselves and in our power and on our own, we're going to speak out against what we see that's wrong in the world today. It'd be pretty easy for the world to intimidate us and us to back off if we come at it in that way. But if you think about that, it's God that asks you to do it. And you become impressed with the awesomeness and the greatness of our God, then the world will not be able to intimidate us as we speak against its corruption. And so I think that's perhaps the reason for this introductory chapter before Ezekiel is actually called upon to speak. The second thing that I want to look at begins in chapter 2, and that is the call to speak. Ezekiel chapter 2, let me read verses 3 through 5 first. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me, and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. For they are imprudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, that thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. I just noticed a thing or two from that reading. He was being sent to the children of Israel, but they're described as a rebellious nation, hard-hearted or hard-headed. That is, they're not a nation that will likely listen to what the prophet has to say. Ezekiel is supposed to say, Thus saith the Lord. Then, of course, the message is not given. You read on through the rest of the book of Ezekiel and you'll see what the message is, but this part is just saying, you're to say to them what I tell you to say. Thus saith the Lord. Speak God's message to this people. And then this interesting little statement, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. I'll say a little more about that because we're going to get that repeated three times. That's kind of the theme here. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And then he says, yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. Whether they hear or not, if Ezekiel will go and speak the word of the Lord, at least the people will know that they had the opportunity that a prophet had been there. Then I continue reading in verses 6 and 7. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their word. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious people. Ezekiel, don't be afraid. And I found this interesting, that he says, be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks. Usually when we talk about the Bible prophets, Old or New Testament, and the problem that they face as they spake the word of the Lord, we think in terms of being thrown in dungeons or to the lions or burned at the stake or beaten or something of that nature as being the things that they were afraid of. And we, of course, in our free society, at least at this point, do not have to worry about that. That's not really a problem. But the problem that is mentioned here, as Ezekiel goes among his own people, is the same problem that we can face in our society when we speak out against corruption. Be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks. And you know, people do fear that. Christian people. And surely there's no one here tonight that has not at some time or another known what you should say, but felt a little bit intimidated because of what might be said back or the look that you might get if you spoke out against some form of evil. And Ezekiel the prophet is not being told here to look out, they'll throw you in a dungeon or behead you. He's being told, don't be afraid of their words and that look they give you when you speak out against their corruption. The next few verses, there is a roll of a book described, written within and without, and Ezekiel is told to take it and eat it. It's a book of woes and lamentations. And he is to take that book and eat it. Kind of like in the book of Revelation, where the book was given to John to take and eat. And as I read that, I think the idea is, the taking and eating of that book is that he really is to ingest, to devour God's message. Because that's what he's supposed to be teaching. And then the same thing continues in chapter 3, verse 4. And he said unto me, A son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou didst not understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But to the house of Israel, they will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are imprudent and hard-hearted. Lord Ezekiel, I'm not sending you to a foreign nation, I'm sending you to your own nation. If I sent you to a foreign nation, they'd probably listen. But your people Israel are rebellious, they won't listen. Nevertheless, go. And then a couple of more verses. Verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of my people, and speak unto them and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. That's the third time we have that. In other words, God is saying to Ezekiel, I'm sending you to a rebellious people. And they're not going to listen. And I want you to go and I want you to speak the word of the Lord to them, even though they're not going to listen. It is your responsibility to speak out whether they will hear or whether they will obey. Strikes me as kind of strange that the Lord wants Ezekiel to go and do this preaching, and he knows that the people are not going to listen. But now, that's not the only time we have this in the prophets. Turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Similar sort of thing. Isaiah 6, beginning in verse 9. The Lord spoke to him and said, And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, and understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fast, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Of course, you recognize this as something that Jesus quoted in the New Testament. But in this particular passage, the Lord is speaking to Isaiah, and he's saying, go speak. They're not going to listen, but you go speak. Well now, okay, we'll go and we'll say this one time, since they're not going to listen. How many times, Lord? Well, let's continue. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without a man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. In other words, when everybody's gone, they've all been carried away into captivity. And so Isaiah was to speak, even though, he's told, nobody would be listening. And so back in this passage that we're looking at in Ezekiel, Ezekiel is said, is being told, whether they will listen or whether they will forbear. In our day and time, we live, as we said at the outset, in a day of corruption, not simply in life, but in thinking and in teaching. It would be quite easy for us as Christians, because of our experience in the world, to kind of come at it with the idea, well, what's the use? You can speak out against homosexuality and perversion. You can speak out against a sexual immorality in dating practices in our country. You can speak out against abortion. You can speak out against profanity. And you can speak till you're blue in your face, and people will continue with it. And it would be quite easy for us to become discouraged, like Ezekiel, and think, what's the use? Well, what God is telling Ezekiel, and what is true for us today, when we're called out to speak against that which is evil, is that it is our responsibility to speak out whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And that's the approach or attitude that Christian people should take towards the corruption that is in the world. We may very well see, as Isaiah saw and as Ezekiel saw, We may very well say that the world of our day will not listen. But the Lord's command to His people is, still I want you to speak out against the corruption that's in the land. And then the most famous part of these early chapters in Ezekiel is the statement about Ezekiel being a watchman. And I want to read now in chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman upon the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. That is, you speak out and you warn the people, and then this is going to be the result. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And then, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous man sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and thou hast delivered thy soul. That is, Ezekiel, the principle is that God requires you to faithfully proclaim your message. It doesn't matter the result. Ezekiel was not responsible for the result at all. He was responsible for being faithful in carrying out his duty in proclaiming the message. And so it is with us today as we think of the corruption that is in the world. I doubt that all Christians speaking out against the corruptions and the evil of our society is going to turn the tide, at least not very quickly. But it is our responsibility, whether society will hear or whether it will not. It is our responsibility to speak out against the corruptions in our world. So the last verse I want to read is from the New Testament, shortened form of the same idea, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Paul said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, there are two ideas presented in this passage. The first is that we're to keep ourselves free from the corruption of the world. No fellowship, no participation in the unfruitful works of darkness. And that, of course, is what Christians do, and that's pretty easy. But then, he says, but rather reprove them. In other words, it's not the Christian position that you take a step back and stay away from evil and kind of, I don't participate. If you do, go ahead, but I don't. But the Christian attitude is, I do not participate and I reprove or speak out against anyone who does. It's not simply have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but it is also reprove them. The call to speak out. Whether we're looking at Ezekiel in the Old Testament and God called him, or whether we're reading Paul in the New Testament, it's the same basic idea for God's people. It's always been so. That it is our responsibility not simply to keep ourselves from the corruption of the world, but also to be vocal and to speak out against it. Now, we've talked about what Christians should do so far as speaking out against evil is concerned, but the first thing that you need to do, of course, is become a Christian. If anyone here tonight who is not a Christian, you need to believe, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins.